Hi, this is Pastor and Bible teacher Warren Hoyt, welcoming you to another audio message of the Word of God, which, according to Acts 20:32, is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among God's people. Today I have several scriptures for you, and I'd like to turn your attention to those scriptures on the back side of that sheet that has the song on it. And I want to talk to you about this subject today, thinking Christianly. Thinking Christianly. Let's read these scriptures. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." That's what you do with your body. "This is your spiritual act of worship." Now it talks to you about your mind. It says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Next is Ephesians 4, where it says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do." That means people who are not Christians for our purposes, non-Christians. Look at this. How do they live? "In the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance." Notice those are all terms having to do with the mind and with thinking. "And that's in them. They are ignorant because of the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires." And look at verse 23. "To be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Mark 12:30. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." And lastly, Philippians 6, "Do not be anxious about anything." That's in your mind and heart, being anxious, right? "But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And look at this final verse. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So I'm talking to you today about thinking Christianly, because the mind is such an important aspect of who we all are, right? It's your mind is you. Your mind is who you are. Of course, we talk about the soul and the heart and so forth. To be honest with you, there's different preachers that'll get into all this detail about what each one means, and they may be right or wrong or whatever. It's a matter of conjecture. I don't think anybody clearly and exactly knows the differences between mind, heart, soul, spirit, all that. But the gist of it is that these things express kind of the deepest part of who we are, the deepest thoughts, intentions, desires, goals that you have, what you're oriented toward in life, what you value, along with, you know, your memories, your loves, your hates, etc. And the point of all these verses is that we're to love God with all of it, right? Love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That being said, I don't think a lot of Christians really understand the importance of their minds and their thinking. Last week, I brought you a message about the coming judgment and how we'll be judged for everything we ever think. Every idle word we've ever said will even be judged, and even the very intentions of our heart will be revealed on that day. And so the Christian mind is very, very important. It's important what you put into it and what you think, and also how you think. In fact, it's actually a command of God to be concerned with what you think and watch what you think, because as we just read there in Philippians, Paul the apostle even tells us what to think. He says, think on these kinds of things. And he even says, be transformed by your thinking or in your thinking. So it's very, very important. Now, why am I bringing this up? Well, I'll tell you why. Because in the recent years, I've been spending a lot of time thinking and pondering and wrestling with what's happening to this country. And basically, like even in my own family, one of my sons, the way people are thinking today, I have a hard time understanding how they're thinking. Do you? I mean, they say large numbers of young people, for example, are saying we should try socialism. We should tear down the system that's made us all prosperous. And I don't care even if you're one of the poorest people here. If you have traveled like Mickey and I have to the third world, you know we're all rich here. You got air conditioning, you got wall-to-wall carpet, you got a refrigerator with food in it, you're rich in the world's, in comparison with those of the world. And so they want to tear that down and try socialism. They say that the whole country is basically bad. It was founded on racism and attacking the Native American population. And they say we should all ask for forgiveness for being white. They're tearing down statues, they're burning buildings, they're burning actually whole downtown areas. In Portland, it's been burning for 70-some days. They're saying and have said now, even the Supreme Court, that marriage can be between two men, two women. What'll be next? I don't know. They're saying that even sex itself is fluid. You can decide what sex you are. A child can decide I was watching Han Solo, the Star Wars movie, a week ago or something, and they had, you know, it's a new version, so they had a new Lando Calrissian. Remember him, Lando? He owned the Millennium Falcon that Han Solo got it from him in a card game and so on. So they had a different Lando, so I looked it up on my phone while I was watching the movie. Who was the original actor, and who's this guy? And the original guy was named Billy Dee Williams. And I just took a minute, but there right on my phone as I'm watching the movie, it says Billy Dee was in this movie and that and so forth. And it said he was transsexual, that sometimes he was a man, sometimes he was a woman. And I said, oh, geez, everywhere I look. I mean, everywhere I look. This is just the norm today. Then I saw an article in a conservative email thing I get that it said that, I couldn't believe this, transsexuality is up by 4,000% in Great Britain among young girls. And they think it's because it's just continually talked about on the media and in Hollywood and all the, you know, arts and cultural things are transmitting this idea of transsexuality and so forth. And 4,000% increase of young ladies not sure if they're women or not. So people today think very differently, folks. Very differently. And unfortunately, the way they think is very different from God's thoughts and God's ways, and very, very different from a biblical way of thinking. Now, you'll notice our church is mostly older people, and a lot of churches are that way. There's a lot of reasons for that. You know, it's not all this new way of thinking. When you have older people, you don't attract younger people because they're looking for folks like them. And so that's not all just the result of something evil. But you'll notice many, many churches are only older people. You'll notice a lot of your grandkids, they don't have any interest in church. Some of your kids, maybe you raised them in church, now they don't see any reason for it. It's absolutely like irrelevant to them. You know, it's like some old outdated thing that there's absolutely no purpose in learning about that. That doesn't mean anything for your life today. And the truth is, what I discover is that a lot of these young people, they don't really know much about the real Christianity. What they think they know is actually often misinformation, because they've been told all kinds of distortions by, you know, leading people, celebrities, academics, the media. Most of academia is not comprised of people of faith. And so if they speak about it at all, they slander Christianity and God. They speak against it. And I was just reading a book the other day where the author said he had an article called The God I Don't Believe In. And he listed like 7 or 8 things that young people today have been told that the Christian God is. And he said, no wonder young people don't want to come to this God. They have a totally wrong impression of who he is. Like, for example, they said that he's old-fashioned. Christianity is unscientific. It's anti-intellectual. You've got to check your brain at the door to come into a church, because Christianity is just stupid. Only old people believe these myths. It's homophobic. That's a big one. Christians hate homosexuals. It's very backward. In other words, you can't really be a thinker and accept Christianity. There's one apologist I listen to frequently named Frank Turek, and I recommend him to you. You can get his app. It's called crossexamined.org. You can get an app, and he came to our church in Texas. I respect him a lot, and he always starts the broadcast every day saying, they don't think Christianity is true. They've been talked out of it. You know why they're talked out of it? Because they were never talked into it. And what he means is, they've never heard a sensible case for Christianity. They think it's all old fogies and stupid people who believe it. They don't understand that some of the most brilliant minds of all time have been Christian. I get so frustrated, because the more you study about this, the more you know, and then you hear these ignorant things from people, and like one guy over here told me, philosophy and theology, they're the stupidest things anybody could study. And it was like, those were considered the queen of sciences. And the handmaid of science for centuries. You have no idea, young man. You have no clue how many brilliant people have been Christian for centuries and have thought about all these arguments that you think are so smart that tear down the Christian faith. You have no clue. There are volumes that tear down every one of those stupid lies you believe. The best minds in the world have dealt with issues like this for centuries. And you think they're just easy arguments to defeat. We're talking about, you know, theologians or apologists or pastors or bishops or monks, or if you're talking about scientists, think of Isaac Newton. I was there in St. Paul's Cathedral, I think it was, or was it Westminster Chapel? Anyway, the tomb of Sir Isaac Newton is there. One of the greatest scientists of all time, and Isaac Newton also wrote over 80,000 pages on theology. Tell me it's a stupid thing to believe. You know, so many scientists, Blaise Pascal, Francis Bacon, who's called the father of modern science, Galileo, Kepler, Leibniz, and modern ones. There's tons of modern ones. If you go to the Museum of the Bible in D.C., they got a whole section about modern scientists who are also believers. I love John Lennox, Alistair McGrath, John Polkinghorne. They have PhDs in science as well as theology. They're brilliant thinkers. And yet today, young people have never heard of them. They never even get a chance to hear about the arguments for Christianity. All they hear is the slander from the other side. And the way they're told, it's like, Christianity. Why anybody with a brain knows that's stupid. It really reminds me of the days of the Soviet Union and the Iron Curtain, when they just broadcast propaganda to all their people, and they weren't allowed to even know that there was a world out there that was 100 times better than their world, I've been to Russia many times. I've talked to many Russians who lived under Soviet times. They told me, we thought you guys were like primitive, you were backward, you didn't have enough to eat, and you were all racist, you were all fighting one another. Yeah, does that sound familiar? Racism, you're all racist. They were saying that decades ago, and when the world kind of opened up and they discovered, no, the truth is you guys were starving. You guys have all these ugly buildings that are just gray concrete that are broken down. Nobody's repaired for 30, 40 years. You guys don't have any freedom. You don't have any life. We had it made. We were blessed. We were rich. And we were allowed to think whatever we wanted. They were amazed. They were amazed. It's like that today. The world out there is just under the iron curtain of Satan and his lies and his propaganda, and that's all they know. But we used to have Radio Free Europe, and it broadcast, it beamed into the Soviet countries all the time. News from the other side. Folks, you and I, that's what we're called to be here. We're like Radio Free Europe. We're the people who are supposed to broadcast the other side. Amen?
Amen.
Tell them that there's another side. The truth is, this isn't old-fashioned or anti-intellectual. This is the most reasonable way to live. This is the best explanation for life there is. And this will lead you to life and life eternal. Those lies you're believing, they lead you to hell. That's all that they take you to. So there are so many false narratives out there today. They're completely false, but they spread around so quickly and so easily. I'm just amazed. They believe lies. They believe lies. They're still saying, and don't get mad if some of you don't agree with this, but let me just, for a very simple example. They wear t-shirts that say, hands up, don't shoot. They believe that Michael Brown was on his knees begging the white racist police officer not to shoot him. Even the black attorney general and the black police chief, they did a whole study of the whole thing that happened there. Even his friend, Michael Brown's friend, said, no, he wasn't on his knees begging, don't shoot. He was attacking the police officer. The police officer was trying to save his life. And yet the story that all of them believe is that white police officers are hunting down black young men and killing them ruthlessly for no reason. George Floyd, oh, the poor man, none of us like seeing that video of the man with his knee on his neck. But friends, did you see the body cam videos? For 15 minutes before he was on the ground, the man was saying, officer, I can't breathe. When they did the autopsy, his blood showed that he was three times over the legal limit of fentanyl, a drug that causes you to not be able to breathe. What's my point? False narratives today are accepted as gospel truth, and they're lies. They're lies. And the same thing goes for what they say about God, the Bible, Christianity, the church. That's why I'm bringing you this message today about thinking biblically, thinking Christianly, because we as Christians are responsible to think biblically, to think critically, to discern truth from error, to examine what we're hearing. We are commanded by God to be renewed in our minds. And use our minds Christianly. Think Christianly. Have a biblical worldview. Now that's a fancy term. Maybe some of you don't know what it means, but your worldview is like your belly button. Everybody has one. You might not know it, but you have one. Everybody has a way that they look at the world, and it comes from their history, what they were taught as children, what they've experienced. And all kinds of different things have contributed to it. And so your worldview is how you see life and history and where the world is going and what the problem with mankind is and all that. And so we're commanded by God to have a biblical worldview, to look at the world through biblical lenses, if you will. Research by pollster George Barna, I have a book here that I read years ago, Think Like Jesus. You've heard of Barna. It's all the time on the news. The Barna research group. And this is a survey questionnaire he did, and it has about like eight questions. I thought of giving them all to you. I might someday. It takes too long to do here, but to see whether or not you have a biblical worldview. And you know what he found? It's shocking. Some 80% of people who say they're Christians, they don't have a biblical worldview. They don't know what that means. When you ask them about it, they give these weird explanations like, yeah, we studied geography in school. I know about the world and what it looks like. People don't understand what it means. And he starts off the book, the introduction talks about a young man he met on a plane, and the young man was talking with his friends about all the girls they were going to get at the place they were going and how much drinking they were going to do. And then he says to George, like, and what do you do? And anyway, it turns into a Christian witnessing opportunity. And the guy says, oh, I'm a Christian too. Yeah. Oh, okay. And as the conversation goes on, it's very interesting because he says things like, you know, but I just, I don't believe that that's something you live by. You know, it doesn't like affect my life anymore. And he said things like he believed in reincarnation. He believed everything works out. You know, it's all good as long as you don't hurt anybody and things like that. And just a bunch of things that are just completely incongruous. They don't fit into a picture that is coherent. They're not a Christian worldview. And so kind of shocking, 80% of Christians don't think biblically. But Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Yet God said in Hosea 4:6, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And so if you don't know how to use your mind, if you don't know how to love God with all your mind, you're certainly in danger of being misled yourself. You're going to think all kind of crazy stuff. It's not right. And you don't even know it's not right. But not only that, you're also not going to be able to be the influence you need to be for your children and grandchildren. No way. You can't answer their arguments and their questions. You don't know when they come to you with these difficult things, they say. You don't know how to do it. You don't know what's wrong with what they're even saying. You grapple with it and you can't, it's like confusing to you. And so if you don't have a biblical worldview, how can you influence others to have one? If you don't know what you believe and why and how to present it, no wonder our children, our grandchildren are all on all these crazy tangents that they're on. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, that all Christians, we're all commanded to be prepared to give a defense, to give an answer for what we believe, for the hope that's in us. That means you got to know what our faith is. We got to know what it teaches us. And we got to discern and understand what the enemy is saying, how he's attacking our faith, so that we can defend against him. How can you defend if you don't know what the enemy's doing? Don't you know that our military is constantly studying the tactics of the Chinese and the Russians and their cyber warfare and their military, their weapon systems? They have to. You can't stand against it unless you know what it is. And you need to work on your defense and how to respond to it. That's your responsibility, my responsibility. A week ago, I heard a young man, an African-American named Coleman Hughes. I like him. He's intelligent. He's very thoughtful. And he's conservative now, but he shares how his whole life till he was in his 20s, he never even met a conservative, ever. He never met a Republican, ever. He never knew there was any other way of looking at anything than what he learned in his bubble. And since then, he's done research, and I was interested to find out. He says 68% of black people, African-American people, say racism is not a factor in their lives. They have not been hindered in their careers, in their finding apartments, places to live, or anything through racism. They don't see it as the problem. But on the news, we're told continually this is a totally racist country. It's hindering all African-Americans and other minorities. Amazing. And so, how interesting that he had never ever encountered anyone that knew something different. It reminds me, I met a professor at the University of Texas, El Paso years ago. And he told me, I went through all my education, got my PhD, and was a professor for 10 years.
and never, ever, once heard that there was any problem with the theory of evolution, ever. Nobody ever said another side. And then he said, all of a sudden, this guy, this other professor said, hey, have you read this? Have you heard of that? And began to show him things. And he came to see there's a whole world of scientists out there that say, this is baloney, this is bunk, it doesn't answer the questions we have. It just doesn't work. Evolution's not possible. Scientists, he never knew that. That's the way it is today. We got so many people who are out there that don't have a clue. But this Coleman Hughes said something else that was interesting. I tried to find it again so I could get the exact quote, but I couldn't find it. But he said something to this effect. He said there's learning and then there's like religious learning. Now listen to this. I thought this was interesting. He said, most people, you learn something in school, you get the class, you take the test, you go on. He said religious learning is different. It's fanaticism. So he's a conservative, but he's not a Christian. He said, you know, in religious learning, you have to go over and over and over again the same stories, like for years. All the Christian people go to the church and they just hear the same stories over and over, and they don't seem to mind. You know, the preacher talks about the same stories over and over and over. You've already heard them. And he was like, you know, didn't have a clue. And he said that. And what he said really betrayed a misconception he has still. So I pray for this young man. You know, he's coming along. He needs to learn some more. This morning on our Facebook page, I posted something I want you all to go and try to find, or else if you don't do Facebook, just Google BibleProject.com, and then it has a little search thing in the top, and type in Jewish meditation literature. Please look at that. It's only 5 minutes long, and it's a little animated thing, and it's very useful, very helpful. And I wish this man, Coleman Hughes, would watch that. Because, folks, preaching the Word of God is not like, oh, you heard the story of the Good Samaritan? Oh, so I'll have to teach you something else. We don't have to go over that again. Oh, you already know all that. What? We've already finished. We don't need a church anymore. You don't understand at all if you think that way. You see, the Bible is not Grimm's fairy tales. You read one, you know it, you move on. No, the Bible's a spiritual book. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, it's God's word to us. When we read the Bible, it conveys teaching and history and information, sure. But it's way more than that. It's a communication from God. It helps you to interact and relate with God. He speaks to you through it. Not only that, He changes your way of thinking. That's why the Jewish meditation thing will teach you. You got to spend time in the Word every day. You should be letting it filter through your mind every day. Just spend a little time in it. God will speak to you. He'll encourage you, or He might correct you. If you never get corrected, something's wrong, because we're not all right. We need correction, right? It's a spiritual book. You don't read it one time and you got it. I've been reading it every day for 44 years. I read through the Bible every year for 44 years, plus all my other studies that I do of it. I never reach the end of it. I wish I could take you along with me in the mornings when I'm reading and meditating. I get all kinds of thoughts and new ideas and stuff all the time. And I'm constantly seeing stuff I never saw before. And I've been doing it 44 years. It's not a storybook. You learned the history one time or whatever, now you got it. Look, when I read the Bible, like this morning when I read it, I'm in a different place than I was last year when I read that same stuff. I've had different experiences. I've seen different problems in my life, or I've confronted different issues in the world and so on. So it's different today than it was last time. It's a supernatural book. And so a large percentage of people, they don't have a Christian worldview. What's that mean? Well, they're not allowing God to speak to them through His Word. They don't understand what it is. And by the way, that's a point too. A lot of people say, I can't understand it, Pastor. That's why I don't read it. Guess what? I don't understand it all either. Read it anyway. Amen. This year you'll understand a little more. Next year a little more. Watch that video, I'm telling you. And it'll help you understand how God wants you to get this, to where your mind is transformed and renewed and you think biblically. A Christian worldview, as Barna brings out, it has to do with things like the existence and the nature of God, the existence of moral law, something people don't realize they're fantastically ignorant of, and they're not thinking through the whole issue of moral law. They don't have any standards for what they even say is right or wrong. They don't understand that's a serious weakness in how all of them think. We need to know about the moral law, about human nature. Serious wrong thinking. People think humanity is good, and if we just have the right people in government, we'll make a utopia here. Serious flaw. Don't have a Christian worldview. Where do we come from? Where are we going? Is there any purpose to history? Is there a real devil? Did Jesus rise from the dead? What about what I talked about last week? Will we ever give account for what we've done? Will there be a judgment? Another major issue I'd like to preach on sometime. What is sin? Are we sinners? Is there such a thing as original sin? Or are we basically good? Everybody's good. What is sin? It's like some zealous fanatical types in the Christian world, it's like everything is sin. And then others on another side of the spectrum are like almost nothing sin. Which is the real truth? How will God judge us? We need a biblical way of thinking about that. Amen? A biblical worldview. Where do you go when you die? Man, I was on this panel at the University of Texas, and my wife was there. We had two Jews, one Baha'i faith guy, I don't know if they call him priests or whatever. We had a Muslim imam, and we had, I can't remember who all else, and I was the Christian. And when they asked about where you go when you die, I was amazed. The Jews didn't even agree. Two Jews said two different things. Totally different ideas. What do you believe about it? Is it just whatever you think? Everybody goes to a better place? Really now? Are you sure? It's about a biblical worldview. What do you live for? What's the orientation of your life? What's the most important thing to you? What are your values? That's a biblical worldview that I'm talking about. You need to have it. We're to think biblically. It affects how we make decisions, what we value, and how we're oriented in life. Your worldview is either coherent and it all fits together and the parts work together, or you got a mishmash, which most people have, of all kind of confused things that don't even, if you would analyze it, you realize, hey, that doesn't even make sense. But you don't care. Because all of us have some things we don't understand, we leave them out there kind of fuzzy. Right? But some things are more important than others and they don't need to be fuzzy. So I want to conclude, I want to play a final song, but I hope you get the point today. The point of the message is you're supposed to love and I'm supposed to love God with all our minds. That means you better be learning the Bible, better be learning the Word of God, better be looking at it every day. Let God speak to you. Let Him use it in your life. It's so important. You're missing out if you don't do that. And by the way, I'll just put in a plug. I'm here every Thursday. Hello? Right in this room. I'm teaching it straight through Book of Acts. For weeks, every Friday, Facebook Live, evangelism, apologetics, teaching these things. Take advantage, will you? I don't know. It's like Jesus said, I'm not going to be with you forever. Right? I don't know how long I got. Why am I here? God put me here. Amen. I pray you'll take advantage of it. I want you to listen to this final hymn. The words there are on your song sheet. And then we'll pray and we'll close.
Thanks for listening today. If you have any comments, questions, or prayer requests, I'd be happy to receive them from you. Just scroll down and you can send them from the website directly. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry, you can do it on the website by clicking the donate button or contact me to make a different arrangement. Thank you.